Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Squat Cobbler. This is episode 34. I am Candidate Mike, and you can find me at Official Pagan on just about all social media, including Snapchat. So, you know, I guess I have to learn how to use that now that I'm going to be the leader of the free world.
And I'm the VP, and I go where I want.
That was excellent.
I'm Kelly Tool at KellyTuhl on Twitter, and we're back to talk Alice.
Absolutely. And we're not just talking any Alice. We're talking about Constrictor. Yeah. Now I know you guys listening are pumped. Constrictor, obviously, probably Alice's most famous album. Beloved by critics and fans alike. Set aside the playlist. This is the one album that it's a playlist contained in and of itself. What are your thoughts, Kelly?
So I like it.
I may have oversold it a little bit.
I don't like it quite to the level that's being depicted so far. Because particularly about the whole album being a playlist, because as we get through it, there are parts of this album that are pretty darn awesome, but there's also maybe a moment or two that are giving us what I view as early warning signals to what's coming up next. And so it was like we saw hints of it was like the tip of the iceberg was out there if you'd only seen it. I do enjoy this album, and this is Alice. I was reading some reviews and articles and things, and it where it was that Alice kind of declared a retirement from music after Dada, and this was the comeback. And this is now we've had the Coke years for Alice. This is Alice Cooper, not drunk, no drugs, performing for the first time ever. He was kind of wondering how it would go, and we all were, and this is how it went. It was pretty darn good.
Yeah, you know what? If you couldn't tell, there was a tiny bit of sarcasm in my little intro there. I know a lot of people don't like this album. I know that in the grand scheme of Alice's catalog, this is certainly not beloved. Tends to make it to the bottom half of most people's lists if they were ranking them. I think it's a little bit underappreciated. I get it. Like, I understand that this is no killer Billion Dollar Babies, Love It to Death. It's not From the Inside. Like, all those classic records that we love. It isn't those, but it also doesn't deserve to be maligned the way that some people seem to. I will say right up front, before we even get into any of the tracks, this album is 100% fast food, but it's good fast food. It's entertaining. It's fun. It is, though, it's overproduced and polished sounding. It's definitely campy in parts, and it is really, really dated sounding now. This album is very much a product of its time.
Yeah, which is, you know, kind of strange because, and I forget when where it came across. So, Billion Dollar Babies was released in 1973. So that would make it, having a hard time doing math is hard sometimes, 44 years old, something like that. It's a 44 year old album, over 40 years ago. So that's Billion Dollar Babies was released over 40 years ago and does not sound dated.
No. To me. Yeah, I can completely agree.
So that, I mean, that's kind of interesting, but I could see that this one does seem to suffer some impact of time more than some of Alice's other work.
Yeah, this one, and it's not even necessarily in a bad way, because I could almost see this record, if they were to re-release this now, do like a big deluxe treatment the way that they've done to, like, say, School's Out or something like that, or even Billion Dollar Babies, like do a big deluxe reissue of this record, which I doubt would happen. But if they did, I could completely see hipsters jumping all over this album. Because it's not the complete, I don't want to say sellout, but not the complete radio transformation we're going to hear in a couple of albums. But it's also so 80s sounding and so indicative of that time. I could really see people jumping on this album now.
Yeah, get some of that nostalgia kind of stuff going on. I could see that.
All right, you ready to take this thing track by track, Kelly?
I am, and I've got some surprises for you along the way.
Ooh. Track one, Teenage Frankenstein. What do you think?
So if you're tearing shingles off a roof and needing to re-roof a house, there is no better song to start your day than Teenage Frankenstein. And I can say that based on direct experience. And have it. It's loud. It, you know, this is a return for the past four albums. You know, the original Alice Cooper group, Detroit rock, heavy guitar based. We get into Flush the Fashion, Special Forces, Da-Da, Zipper Catches Skin, more new wave. More synthesizer, guitars are still there, but you know they're not the main course. Constrictor brings guitars back to being the main course for Alice. Now, not Detroit rock guitars, but guitars, and Teenage Frankenstein fires this bad boy up. I really enjoy this song. It's my second favorite song on this album.
Super fun song. Definitely my second favorite song on the record. It signals right from the beginning that we are back to making rock records again. Even if it's not the rock records that are our favorites, it's a rock record. And it's a consistent rock record. It's a driving rock record. And it's just so great to hear Alice back in rock music, fully back in rock music, the way that we want to hear him. This is a really good song. This also kicks off something that is, I could say, a big motif or a big theme, unintentional theme of this album. This is a song from a movie, which you hear a bunch of times on this album. So Teenage Frankenstein, along with He's Back, The Man Behind the Mask, were both from Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. There was another song that was in that movie that didn't make the album. I'm not sure why. And there's a few other movie songs in this album, too, that will hit as we go along. But right off the bat, song in a movie, which is smart, though. That what a great way to kind of reintroduce Alice to the world, to, let's face it, his target audience. A lot of Alice fans or potential Alice consumers at that time, the new generation of potential Alice fans would have been going to see that movie.
Yeah, and I need to actually make a small revision. Third favorite song on the album, because I forgot.
Ooh, interesting. So okay,
it's still good. It's this is in the top parts of the album. It starts off strong. Oddly enough, you know, we've talked about it, and this has been true for Beyond. I think Special Forces is the only album of the last four that with any regularity was getting a song on a tour, because Who Do You Think We Are would make its way on here and there, particularly during kind of the Brutal Planet era, those types of things. There's not a lot of Constrictor stuff that's played in live Alice shows anymore. However, Teenage Frankenstein does show up from time to time, and it's a great live song.
It's a great song all the way around, and even though it might not be the type of rock we were necessarily looking for, it just feels really nice after a handful of more experimental records and there were also sort of inconsistent records. It feels good to know right off the bat that we're back in the rock and roll territory we know and love Alice for.
So purchase the album, get through Teenage Frankenstein, liking it, thinking, this is good. We're kind of getting back to Alice, although it's a little, it is a little closer. You know, it's not radio heavy metal yet, but it's got hints of that, but it's still really strong guitar stuff. Give It Up continues that trend. It's not as strong as Teenage Frankenstein, but I think it's a pretty solid second song. I like it.
Same thing here. Not as strong as a song. Pretty solid. I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. And one of the things that I think, again, I really like this record all the way through, kind of a quibble with it, is there is a few standout tracks. There is also sort of a sameness to the overall sound of this record, though.
Yeah, it definitely does. There is similarities and I'll have more to talk about similar sounds on future discussions of Alice albums, like maybe the next one.
Okay, well then we'll just jump right into the next one. Is Thrill My Gorilla.
So not a huge fan. I don't dislike this song, but while Teenage Frankenstein comes on, really enjoy listening to it. Give It Up, really enjoy listening to it. I got to kind of make my way through Thrill My Gorilla. It's okay, but it does start to have at least a bit of a feel of filler, and the sameness is really starts to come through on this one. That it's like, okay, so this isn't really breaking in kind of entirely different kind of sound areas at this point in time. But I'm pretty tepid on this song. I don't dislike it, but it's not close to a favorite track of mine.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. And I think we're probably going to fall in line on a lot of this record. This is where I start to get the sameness feel of it. And it's almost like, and I can kind of understand in a way. So if you're Alice coming into this record, you haven't toured in a while, you haven't put out a record in a few years. This is your first time in a long time doing this a lot more clear headed than you've been doing it. Maybe you're not quite sure how you're going to get back into the swing of it. You got a Teenage Frankenstein up front. You got a couple other great tracks on this record. I would probably make the same decision to sort of play it safe on some of these middle album tracks. And I kind of feel like that's what I don't necessarily know if I would call them filler, but they're definitely just sort of playing it safe. They're like, hey, we found a guitar driven sound that's going to work, that's going to get us back. Let's just stick with that. I don't think there's any big risks on this record.
Yeah, it's kind of treading water to a certain degree.
Yeah. All right, so that brings us to Life and Death of the Party,
which continues the long tradition of Alice rolling out incredibly cool titles to a song, and then sometimes the song not entirely living up to the power of the title. I this is more water treading for me to a degree. I actually, while Thrill My Gorilla, I dislike. I come darn close to disliking Life and Death of the Party. It's okay, but it's one of the first. It's the first song on this album where I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I could have lived without that one.
Yeah, same thing. Whereas Thrill My Gorilla, we're starting to get kind of a sameness. We're really treading water on this one. So that brings us to Simple Disobedience.
So here's my brilliant plan, Mike, that as I was reviewing this album, getting ready to talk about it, and having us spend some time talking at length about previous albums, I had an epiphany, and that was these next two songs. You take these next two songs, Simple Disobedience and The World Needs Guts, and you put them on Special Forces, and you have Alice Cooper perform Special Forces in a non-coked state, and you've just made a really, really good album.
You're definitely onto something there.
Yeah, particularly World Needs Guts. I think that rolled right into Special Forces awesome, but Simple Disobedience is, make no bones about it, power chords, driving, big drum beat, kind of a clever little Simple Disobedience chant going on throughout it. Not a groundbreaking song, not a brilliant, overly witty song, definitely driving rock, but to me, light years ahead of the previous two songs.
Yeah, absolutely. We're kind of back on track again now. If we tread water with Throw My Gorilla and Life and Death of the Party, we're getting back on track with Simple Disobedience. And you already brought it up, The World Needs Guts. What do you think about that one, sir?
That was my number two song. Second favorite on here is World Needs Guts. I like this song quite a bit. It's got the Alice attitude to it. It's good solid guitar stuff on it. It's Alice grabbing the mic and taking the stage and saying the world needs guts. And I could see, you know, had this been in a Special Forces world, it would have been just brilliant. But I really enjoy the song.
Yeah, same thing here. Really good song, really guitar driven. Again, not the same Detroit guitar driven, but guitar driven track. Just a really good song. And, you know, we're fully, fully back on track here. It's like if these were songs 2 and 3, this album would be placing and continuing in that direction, this album would be placing even higher on my list.
Yeah, I think it's a strong song. It's a highlight for me. There's another one coming up here, but it's really, really strong and fun. And it's, you clearly feel Alice is back, and just the vocal delivery is just perfect for the song. The lyrics, it's great.
And that brings us to Trick Bag.
So some history, which I think you're probably more aware of than I am on this, but there's a song coming up, I think that both of us like quite a bit, that the initial version of that song, the music track for it, was largely the music track that's in Trick Bag. Some shifts were made, and so the music for Trick Bag, which was a different music at that point, to a different song, Trick Bag lyrics were written and put over the top of it. I think that was a really good call, because I'm not a super big fan of the music or the Trick Bag song. So I feel like, you know, we stopped treading water, and then all of a sudden Trick Bag comes and is like, oh, it looks like we're starting to tread water again for me.
Yeah, absolutely the right call. We'll get to what this was supposed to be later in the record. Yeah, this was apparently the initial demo that they submitted for it and went back to the drawing board, came back with the track that we love, and didn't want to waste Trick Bag, which is what became Trick Bag, which is understandable. And that's also why there's only two tracks that have this particular trio of writers credited. It's these same two tracks because they were working on that same project together. So in a sense, this is sort of like the second movie song on the record, or third if you count the one that was cut from the album.
Yeah, and it's just unfortunate because you started to build some momentum, and then, but you know, I guess the good news is that they moved on to go with a different direction for the song we're going to talk about shortly. If you're moving on, you realize that it's not good enough to carry that song. Maybe it's not one you want to include anyway.
Yeah, this is probably something that could have been left off of the album. And I've always kind of wondered why, and I'm not as familiar with the full-length version of the song. Obviously, it doesn't play in its entirety in the film, but I've always wondered why the third Friday the 13th film song didn't make it onto the album.
Anything else on Trick Bag from you?
Yeah. So that brings us into Crawlin'. What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, as we did a little bit, we do our research beforehand, we get ready, and then Mike and I were just doing some additional right before we started. Crawlin', most of these songs are written by Alice and Kane Roberts. Basically, everything all the way up until Trick Bag was just those two. And then these last series of songs, there's an additional still Alice and Kane, but then there's a couple other folks that get added. And on Crawlin', it's Michael Wagner is the additional writer. Crawlin' is probably my least favorite song on this album. And Michael Wagner is going to make an appearance as a producer on the next album. So this one, I talked about some flags coming up. This little flag.
Another little red flag. Yeah, this is, for me, probably the weakest track. And yeah, we're going to see Mr. Wagner again on Kelly's personal favorite, our next Alice episode. We'll get into that. But now it's time to move on from Crawlin' into The Great American Success Story, another movie song, Dangerfield's Back to School, but I believe it wasn't actually used in the movie, correct?
Correct. You know, which is a real head scratcher, because this isn't a song that was like, oh, yeah, this will kind of fit with the storyline and work out really well. This is basically a script treatment of Back to School starring Rodney Dangerfield. It's covering like every beat of the story and the plot line through there explicitly in the process. And it is, you know, we had, you know, Man with the Golden Gun, another movie song that Alice did with the Alice Cooper Group on Muscle of Love that didn't make it into a Bond movie. And he didn't make it into a Bond movie or a Dangerfield movie. So that's a...
which is a really strange arc there.
Continuum, yes.
Yeah.
So for what it is, you know, but I guess, you know, for what it is, but it isn't, you know, if this indeed showed up in the movie, it is a very successful execution of a song to play over the end credits of the movie and have kind of a cool thing to listen to as you head out the door. As a piece of an Alice Cooper album, particularly with it not appearing in the movie, it's a bit of a head scratcher for me. There's nothing wrong with this song. I do think that I've never seen a more literal song about a movie than this one in terms of...
yeah, this is almost like Toy Story soundtrack territory.
Yeah, because it's like, I'm going to lay every piece out for you on there. And it's upbeat and it's, you know, rock, but it's that kind of movie soundtrack kind of, you know, hey, get excited, everybody sort of sound. So I'm not a fan of it. I find it intriguing. It's kind of an interesting little song on there. I don't have any great dislike for it, but it's just kind of strange on multiple levels. It wasn't in the movie. It's very much an end of the movie kind of song, and it's just odd to have one of those sitting on the Alice Cooper album.
Yeah, it's weird. Again, and I think I might have said this with Man with the Golden Gun, it's weird to include it on an album when it wasn't included in the movie, like to pull it out of the context that it was 100% meant to be taken in. It would be different if it was in the movie and like on the soundtrack and then was included on this as a bonus track or included on some sort of compilation album. But to put it on a studio record, particularly a studio record after a break, not that it's a bad song, but to put on a studio record when you had kind of a break and people haven't seen you in a while, like it's an odd choice to me. Again, though, not a bad song, incredibly literal to the movie, which there was a lot of these in the 80s, though, these sort of theme songs that just reiterate the story of the movie. So it fit the tone of what I guess they were looking for.
Yeah, I guess. And it makes you wonder, could Alice do a song for a movie that captures the spirit of the movie without being literal that is awesome? I wonder if he could do that.
I wonder how long it'll take us to go. Oh my God, look what the next song is.
Holy cow.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's He's Back, parentheses, The Man Behind the Mask, which also appeared in Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives, but this time is the theme song to the movie. What are your thoughts on this one, sir?
I love this song. This is worth the price of admission. What better way to end the album? It's got... It pulls off, you know, the sound into it in a cool way. The video I'll include it in the blog post for it when they, you know, we're back in MTV days, kids, when this stuff's coming out. Video's super fun, and it's a great song. I think it's well executed. It's fun. It captures the spirit of what you'd want to kind of have going in to a Friday the 13th movie, blending it with Alice Cooper to me perfectly.
Absolutely. It's not only does it bring in the elements of the classic Friday 13th score that you expect to hear, not only does it bring in all that Alice personality that we love, blends those two together absolutely perfectly. But once again, it brings in sort of the 80s element that, instead of dating it, makes it an absolutely perfect time capsule of slasher movies of that time.
Yeah, it's dead on. It's perfect.
Yeah, this is a perfect song. It really is. It's one of my favorite Alice songs. It's 100% going to be on my playlist. And since we've been doing this, as some of you guys might know, I have a lot of tattoos, and I'm always adding to that. I am going to get lyrics, as I hinted at before, from an Alice song tattooed to me, and they are from this song. So, and that's because of doing these shows with Kelly.
Oh, there you go.
So, Kelly, if you were going to get Alice lyrics tattooed to you, what would you get?
Oh, goodness. While Nurse Rosetta, many parts of Nurse Rosetta would be tempting. there's some good things there. I think The World Needs Guts is a candidate.
So, Kelly, if I get an Alice tattoo of lyrics from this, will you also get an Alice tattoo?
No.
So, Kelly, since you won't get an Alice tattoo with me, will you share the type of pornography you choose to watch?
No. They're both hard no's.
So, Kelly, if really, no Alice tattoo? You have no tattoos, right?
I have no tattoos. Okay. I think if I were to get a tattoo, I like the idea of a lyric snippet. And if I was going to pick a lyric snippet, it would be from Alice. I will reflect upon this, and on our next show, because you want to have, since it's permanent, I want to kind of pick the thing that would be the best. And you know, the tough part for me is, okay, so I'm sitting in the nursing home at 85 in my wheelchair, and people are walking by me, and I don't think I want she popped the buckle of her Bible belt across my forearm. Not quite in time. So I got to think a little more about that.
Well, I'll tell you what I do want on me in the nursing home. And I think it's going to go over my ribs. I'm not 100% sure yet, but probably my ribs. I'm getting "You're Deep in Love, But You're Deeper in the Woods."
I thought you were going to do "He's a Dangerous Man."
Seemed too on the nose.
Yeah, that's fair. That'd be cool. Yep, let me reflect a little bit, and I'll at least identify the candidate.
Well, all right. Let me pose it this way, and obviously you don't have to commit to this. Since I'm going to get an Alice lyric, if you decide to get an Alice lyric as well, I think for our listeners, we should go and get tattooed together and make that an episode of the show.
Yeah, if that happens, we'll absolutely do it as an episode of the show.
Imagine how great an episode of the show that would make.
Yeah, I'm prepared. If I decided that's what's going to happen, sure, we could do it as a show. At that point, I've clearly already given up on a lot of things, and so that I will not have a problem.
You've already compromised beyond a certain point where fuck it.
Yeah, that's right. Or maybe I'll just get the entire set of lyrics to Zorro's Ascent on my back.
See, my back is already filled, so that's why I'm going ribs, I think. It's going to be "You're Deep in Love, But You're Deeper in the Woods." I'm really going to take my time, though, and like come up with a cool design and see what fonts I want to use and all that kind of stuff. But I'm definitely 100% going to do this. If you can think of one, did you ever want to get a tattoo, or are you like opposed to tattoos?
Not opposed. It's always been the process of being completely comfortable to say, okay, I am locked into this. You know, at this point it's like, so this is going to need to carry forward with me for the rest of the years of my life, and to make sure whatever it is merits that. That's always been to just, because Blue Oyster Cult, The Hooked Cross, kind of liked that, considered that for some period of time, but then go, down the road, the world will lack context to know why that's so cool. And so we'll have to see on there. But yeah, no, I'm not opposed to them at all. It's just that idea, just saying it's a thing I think you want to be centered on and write and feel like, yeah, this speaks to something I want to say, or something I want to remember, or something I want to commemorate. Still open, still could happen. probably not into the lyrics from Zipper Catch a Skin, nor I think about it. That's probably not.
Well, here's the thing, and I completely agree with you as far as tattoos go. Like, I have a lot of tattoos, but I always tell people, like, don't jump into it. It is something you're going to be stuck with. Everyone, the people who oppose tattoos tend to use that, you know, 85-year-old thing of like, well, what's it going to look like when you're this old? And my retort to that is always the same thing, especially if it's a guy. I'll say, have you ever seen a beautiful woman walking down the street that catches your attention? And they say, yeah, of course. And I said, have you ever seen an elderly woman who's barely conscious on an oxygen tank being pushed along in a wheelchair and thought, man, I would hit that? And they're like, no, that's disgusting. I was like, right, because everybody looks like shit at that age.
That's true.
So it doesn't matter what you get tattooed to you. That is not a good... I'm perfectly fine with people not wanting tattoos, but that is not a reason to not get them, because I don't care how good you think you're going to look, you won't. Unless you've been surgically aided to a great degree anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well get tattooed. But you shouldn't just jump into it. Like, all of my tattoos are, they have personal meaning to them. I don't regret any of them. I never would regret any of them. And I think, especially for you, I know that you're a huge Alice fan, and I completely understand the perspective of, like, is this something I really want on me forever? I mean, you're going to be an Alice fan forever, for the rest of your life at least. So I feel like this isn't, if you're going to get something, getting an Alice related tattoo is probably the least risky bet.
You make a compelling argument. Allow me to continue.
And it would make a great fucking episode of the show, let's be honest.
Oh, it would. It would be good. People see me crying.
It just so happens a friend of mine owns a tattoo shop, and I'm sure he'd be willing to do this.
Okay, so it's probably not going to be episode 35.
No. I'm not saying tomorrow or anything like that. But if we decide on this, I think this would be a cool way to do it.
I agree.
So
if I do it,
Kelly just said 100% he's in with getting tattoos. It's going to be episode 35 of the show. Stick around, guys.
I'm glad I can edit these podcasts. That is awesome.
Where would you get an Alice tattoo? Do you know? Placement-wise?
So haven't really kind of dwelled on it much. I'd cross the kind of back shoulder blade if it's a lyric.
Makes sense.
I could see it on the back. I mean, I wouldn't mind it on an arm, but I kind of lean a little bit more to the pearl. It seems to me you want to have that kind of nice long run for a lyric, and unless you're putting it on the forearm, I think I'd probably go back. So you're thinking ribs for yours?
Yeah, I'm definitely. It's either going to be ribs. I'm jumping back and forth. I'm leaning heavily towards ribs, but it's going to be ribs, or it's going to be on the inside of my bicep, like up where your arm would go against your ribs.
That seemed like a good spot.
Yeah, either one of those, and it's. I'm definitely going to get, because I'm just getting the lyrics, I want something that's really stylized looking.
Or what I might do is get, but don't worry, we're civilized and we won't eat you, just from my mouth.
There you go.
That could be a nice one. So many choices.
Yeah, that's something to ponder for episode 35. So, anything else you want to add to this album, sir?
Nope.
All right, then. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed our review of Constrictor. We're not done.
No, we got two important things to do.
That's right. The first of those, of course, is the Pat Boone song. And I'm glad, of course, I wanted to scare everybody there. We were not going to leave you without giving you the Pat Boone song. Come on.
You know that's what you
Kelly.
What you wait for.
That's what they're tuning in for. Well, now and to see what you're going to get tattooed to you.
Yeah.
So now there's two things that they're tuning in for. So, Kelly, what's your Pat Boone song?
And I would... Life and Death of the Party was my Pat Boone song, because it just feels like I could see Pat singing that.
That makes sense. For a second, I was going to go with Great American Success Story, because it's on the nose and kind of cheesy, so Pat Boone all over it. But then I remembered Pat Boone's not going to support education. So I think he would go with Thrill My Gorilla, which of course has sexual overtones to it, but not to Pat Boone. To Pat Boone, it's an opportunity to wear a gorilla suit.
That's right. Yes. Which has kind of been a personal goal of his for some time. So.
Absolutely. So that, to me, that's the Pat Boone song. Now, this is where it gets good. And the reason this is really where it gets good is because next week, I think we might see a big shakeup in your list. Well, not next week. Next, Alice. I think we're going to see some shakeups in Kelly's list coming, because the big one So before then, the last one before the apocalypse, where are you going to put this record, sir?
So it's a tough one because he's clearly back, and it's great. It's guitar rock again. It's a fun album. It's an enjoyable listen. There is a fair amount of treading of water, which we've talked about in different parts of it, and that hurts it from getting, you know, rocketing up the list too far, which is, you know, on an album that has The World Needs Guts, Man Behind the Mask, Teenage Frankenstein. These are all pretty strong tunes. But then some of the other stuff kind of pulls it back. So as I look across and what I would kind of, some of it about when would I pull this out and listen to it, and how does it stack up against some of the other things we've talked about? This actually is going to kind of float middle of my list, and it's going to be above Dada, but below Flush the Fashion. So it actually puts it at number 9 on my list of 16.
I think I'm going to put it in the exact same spot, but that would make it number 8 on mine. Because really what it came down to, I like it better than Dada because of Man Behind the Mask. Although, when we revisited Dada, I liked that record way more than I thought I did. That was one that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and it, you know, it keeps coming back down to, there's, you know, it's not like there's winners and losers here. We're gonna like almost all these albums, you know, because they're all very, very good. But it's just kind of squared them relative. But yeah, so it ends up at number 8 on your list and number 9 on mine.
Yep.
Next up, when we we'll come back next week with a recommendation show, and then following that, we are going to be reviewing an album that is called Raise Your Fist and Yell. We made some mention of this album leading up to here.
Spoiler alert, it's Kelly's favorite.
Yeah, I promise to have gotten all the way through it completely prior to this, but as of this date, I can't tell you that I've done that.
It's interesting. This is one I'm actually kind of excited to go and revisit, only because I definitely have listened to it all the way through before. Was not a particularly memorable record, but I don't have the burning hatred for it that you do. So I've intentionally not listened to anything off it in preparation. I'm going to listen to the whole thing front to back, and I just want to kind of see how it strikes me, since it has such a strong negative impact on you. I want to see where I fall with basically fresh ears, because it's been so long since I listened to this thing.
Sounds good. Look forward to it. Well, look forward to it might be a little strong, but it'll be good. I am going to go in objectively and kind of, you know, this has been a good process to go back through and kind of look at each song a little bit and think about it in a broader context. And so who knows, maybe my hatred will lighten up a little bit. I think chances of that are remote, but you never know.
There you go, Kelly. Never say never. I like it.
I think with that, we're going to wrap it up. Appreciate everybody listening, and we will catch up with you again next week.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
And there's a lot of Scooby-Doo porn in general that I didn't know existed until the last couple weeks.
You must be so proud.
I'm just proud of myself that I got through my entire recommendation without using any objectionable language.
Okay. Want to be cool like Al Scooper do coke. It's